Blog Talk Radio. God. Never. Never allow anything or anybody to knock you off your square. Because the one thing you will always have is God. It's Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your mama is going to go. Your daddy is going to go. Sometimes your husband and your children, they go. But you always have God. And you always depend on God. Because so many times we depend on the boo-boos down the street. We depend on everybody and everything but God. And that's why the word has told us to trust in the Lord. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your sisters and brothers, not your children, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge who? Not mama, not daddy, not Uncle Joe, not Aunt Marie, but God. And who directs our path but God? So this morning, on what would have been the 51st anniversary that I met my husband and my 44th wedding anniversary, I thank God for the 32 years that you gave me of being married to my husband. And I thank you for the time that we knew each other prior to that 38 years that we knew each other, because he became my friend. So where I'm coming with this is this, speaking to the young girls out there and to the seniors and to those that are looking for love, God will send the person for you and they will choose you. I didn't look for a friend who would become my husband. I was, when I first met him, thought he was the goofiest man I'd ever seen. He was so silly. But he was really, really nice. And how you do it the right way, called courtship. He wrote my parents first and asked permission to write me. And we wrote each other for 6 years. Got engaged after 5. I was young. I was 18 years old, just graduated from high school. He had a car accident bringing me my engagement ring. Nothing but a scratch. Tell me what God can do. Came my best friend. And I thank God for the years ahead. I thank God for the joy that he gave me. I thank God for the prayers we prayed together. And I would tell every young person out there, newly married, when you pray with your husband every night, watch God work in your life. My husband and I prayed together every night. Even when we were not in church, we never stopped praying together every night. Even when we were apart, we would call and pray together every night. Earlier, we prayed together before he died. And I prayed that prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but thou. Whew. I thank God that he is absolute. That when we pray, his prayer And when we say, thou will be done, not our will, but his will. And I say again, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, hallelujah, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Pray that prayer. And I ask again, Father God, increase as your daughter decreases. For you are Lord of all. You are great and gracious. You are loving and you are kind. And you are my Father, and I love you more than anything. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul from darkness, for making me whole in the spirit. I thank you, God, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. For you have given me an opportunity for a do-over. For you have healed my heart. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my humble heart, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my God, my strength, and my redeemer. And it's in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, thanking you for the joy that you have given me in my life and for the peace that surpasses all understanding you have given me on today. Amen. When God called me to ministry and I accepted, and I was baptized, I went in the water because I needed to be born again. And I say this to all my widows out there. Live life and live it to the full. God has given us each love and opportunity. There are so many who have never had a husband, never had an opportunity for children. Not because they didn't want it, but because they were not in the right place for their good, for their husband to see them and know they were his good thing. Because honestly, when I was 13, I wanted to be a nun. I knew all along called me to something. And I thought I was going to be a nun. I was in the Word. I was saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit, 13, and I was ready to preach. And God had other plans for my life. When I turned 17, I went to a conference and felt like I floated in the air. The Holy Spirit was so in this room full of young people zealous for God. And again, I thought I was going to be a then. By then, I thought I was going to be a Salvation Army officer because I was very much involved with my volunteer work with the Salvation Army. And I was in Corps Cadets, and I was right there. I was going to be a Salvation Army officer. God had other plans. And I say to you, that he is over everything. He shows no partiality. When God calls you, you don't know when he's going to call you, but he's going to call you in his time. I am grateful on this 44th, what would have been my anniversary. But God gave me a great man, and we have favor with God. And I'm thankful for my sons, and I'm thankful that my husband sent me a daughter. I'm thankful for everything that I have. And I say today, be grateful. Be thankful. And I say to children out there this morning, be appreciative of your parents, of your grandparents, for your foster parents, adopted parents, for whoever God has given you. Be grateful, especially if they're taking you to the house of God to learn about Jesus, your Savior. Accept them into your life and say, I want to be saved. I want to be different. I want to be better. Even we as adults, we got to say it too, because we all fall short of God's glory. But God shows no partiality. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's it. You're good. You're saved by His grace, by His mercy. God's hand through Jesus Christ that lifts us up, dusts us off, gives us a kiss on our boo-boo, and says, let's move forward. So let's move forward in the Word of God this morning. And God's Word says to this in Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. And we know centurions were Romans. They were Roman soldiers of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, excuse me, I got a tickle, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? Excuse me, y'all. Gotta get some water. The enemy don't like a word of God going forth. So we know, hallelujah, that God's word is going to go forth this morning. That God's going to get the glory this morning. That God will get the glory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give God the glory and the praise. Now let's get back in our word. Thank you, Lord. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continuously. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Woo, hallelujah. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's household and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. What did the word of God just tell us? And a voice again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Did y'all catch that? So many times we in the church want to call folks common, want to talk about each other, want to say, "Well, you know what she used to be like, or he used to be like. Well, you know, he used to be a drug dealer. You know, she used to be a prostitute." The key word is used to be. They're no longer unclean. They're no longer common. They were cleansed by God and became not common because they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We got to get out of the judging business where you know. And don't forget that if it was me, we got to do what God says do. Peter, who said, "Hey, I don't mess around with no unclean anything. I've been good." And God said, "Come on now. Let me tell you something. You know, there are folks that don't eat certain foods because they're unclean. There's certain food I don't eat, not because it's unclean, but because it just doesn't work well with my body." Because when you pray and give it to God, you can eat whatever you want. And why do I say that? Because the word does. The word says it. Not me, but God's word. And when you read it yourself, you figure out and you see things. You're like, "Wait a minute. But I was taught." But read it yourself. What the Lord has made clean. And that comes from fasting and prayer. I choose not to eat certain things. I don't eat pork. And haven't for years. Not because it's unclean, but because it makes my blood pressure go up. And because I just don't like the taste anymore. And because I'm going to tell you, I used to tear up some ribs. Come on now. Call it straight. Love me some ribs. And all I'm going to say is, if there's bacon, get out of my way. Because I was going to have me some bacon. A BLT was my normal. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato was my normal. And let me tell you, my breakfast, come on now. There ain't nothing like a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich that you make yourself. Not McDonald's, but your own. Come on. I was a baconaholic. Loved my bacon. banking on everything until God, I went on a fast from bacon and from pork chops. Pork chops, fried potatoes, and onions. Come on, I'm just calling it. That was me. I don't know about you, but I cannot eat that anymore because I had allowed it to become a really important food item in my life, and my blood pressure hit over 185 one day. Could easily have left this world, but God. Now I'm normal. Blood pressure looks good every time I go to the house. But I watch what I eat. Because I know that certain food makes my blood pressure go up. And so I can't eat that anymore. I can't have that bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Can't have those bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches made in the skillet just right. Can't have it. That's me. But it's not because that bacon is unclean, because I gave it to God before I ever made it. It just wasn't right for my body. So I say to you today, don't get so caught up in this, that, and, well, you can't have this, you can't have that. If you give it to God, you can have whatever you want. But you got to give it to God first. And if God says, don't do it, then don't do it. God will tell you what to eat and what not to eat. God will tell you where to go and where not to go. God will tell you what to spend and what not to spend. And if you go overindulge in whatever, it's on you. And you got to repent. And as we go into this word, Peter is on a journey of understanding. It's not all about you. It's not all about your group of people. It's about everyone. Salvation is for everyone. Jesus Christ is for us all. Woo, hallelujah. And let's see what God does not show partiality. He says it. Why do I know this? Because he says it in his word. That's why, again, I say, read it yourself. There's so many times we get caught up in what somebody preaches from a pulpit and don't go back and read it ourselves. Read it yourself. Ask God for discernment for yourself. Ask God to show you talking about. Show you what he means. Lord, show me your word that it may come as an understanding in my heart. And this is what it says. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And who said that? Jesus said that, didn't he? Hallelujah. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Wow. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent, for I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your arms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes in, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Do you believe this morning? Because my hand is raised up. I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is my Lord and Savior, that I am saved from my sins because he saved me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the words, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Hallelujah. Have you been baptized in the Lord? I thank God for my baptism. I thank God that I heard his voice. I thank God that the Holy Spirit fell upon me as I went to the water and came out. My pastor said, and I've spoken this before on the show, that I came out and my son said the same thing, that I glowed because the Holy Spirit had taken over. I was so thankful that God called me, because the day that I got baptized was my birthday, and I had gone into that place that the enemy was trying his best to take me, but not today. And I no longer go into that place on that day because it's my birthday. It's my baptism day. It's my day. It's not about what has gone on to be with the Lord, but about what is today. And God said, it is your birthday. You celebrate me on this day. You celebrate the fact that I called you, I chose you, and I baptized you with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We got to give it up to God and thank him, because God will take you where you need to go and away clutches of the evil one, because he will try his best to knock you out of your square into darkness. But you stay in the light, and you keep saying, Lord, for you I live. Hallelujah. Speak life over yourself. With long life, you will satisfy me. Hallelujah. Trust God today that he's got your best interest at heart. Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was having, where I was having been sent to me from Castile. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Woo, you better preach. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying that God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Hallelujah. Notice that repentance to life. Let's speak life over our brothers. Let's speak life over our sisters. Let's speak life over our parents. Let's speak life over our children, grandchildren, and every child. Let's speak life over our grandparents if they are still with us. Let us speak life over the boo-boos and them down the street. I speak life over all of you today. I speak life because the power of death in life is in the tongue. Let's speak life. I love you to life. I will never love another person to death. I love you to life today in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And as Peter said, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. Let's go back. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Hallelujah. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Did y'all catch that? Christianity started in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, which each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Whew, what a word this morning. Wasn't it awesome? It was a great word. So let's go back and look at some life principles and life lessons this morning. The life principle for chapter 10 is this, starting with verse 19. To whom do you turn for daily guidance? And let's go over to verse 19. And it says in verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. And as Dr. Stanley so graciously put it in our word this morning, to whom do you turn for daily guidance on how to live, what to do, where to go, whom to see, how to make decisions? The Scripture tells us that the only God we're trusting is the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who knows our past completely, from the moment we were conceived to the present, and who also knows our future from this day to eternity. Only he fully knows the Father's plans and purpose for us today and for each day of our lives. Only the Holy Spirit knows what is truly good and right for you. Any other opinion can reflect only part of the full truth, which the Holy Spirit knows completely. Jesus repeatedly referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth, said about the Holy Spirit's activity in your life. He will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. John 16:13. The Spirit of Truth is like an inner compass in our lives, always pointing us toward what Jesus would do, say, or do in any given moment. God desires to make his will known to you. He wants you to know what to do and when to do it. Trust the Holy Spirit to be your daily guide. Throughout the gospel, we see Jesus guided every day by the Holy Spirit. After God poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples, they too found themselves led in profound ways. The verses below give a few examples of how the Holy Spirit dealt with his people in ways that provided very personal and specific guidance. What he did for them, then he desired to do for you today. When the Spirit told me to go with them, doubted nothing. Acts 11:12, that's what Peter told everybody. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And we'll be seeing that this week coming up in Acts chapter 13. Now when they had gone through their Gaia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, Acts 16:6. The leaders of the early church relied on the Holy Spirit to give them this kind of specific personal guidance, and we are wise to do likewise Both Romans 8 and 14 and Galatians 5 and 18 refer to our being led by the Spirit, the norm of the Christian life. We got to be led by the Spirit. You may ask, are there any conditions placed upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Yes. First, we must stay yielded to the Spirit. We must say yes to the Spirit when He prompts us to take a certain action or say a certain word. We must give mental assent to the Spirit's direction, and then we must actually obey His prompting and follow through by doing or saying what He has called us to do or say. The Spirit often speaks to us in the stillness of our hearts with a word of conviction or assurance. When the Holy Spirit is directing us away from something harmful, we very often have a heaviness or feeling of trouble, foreboding or uneasiness in our spirit. When the Holy Spirit is directing us towards helpful things, we tend to feel a deep inner peace, an eagerness to see what God will do, and a feeling of joy. How can you know if you are yielded to the Holy Spirit? You are yielded to Him when you can say to Him, here is what I desire, but if your answer is this, to this is no, it's all right, I'll do what you say. Second, we must believe for His guidance. We are much more likely to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us if we are actively listening for Him to speak. We are much more likely to see the Holy Spirit's direction if we are looking for His sign. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We are to be diligent in seeking His guidance, asking for it, watching for it, anticipating it, and receiving it. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal the truth to us. He has come in His all-knowing ability to impart to us what we need to know to live obedient and faithful lives. Trust Him to guide you now and always. Are you trusting the Holy Spirit today? Are you trusting God's word today? And I love our life lessons this morning. In Acts 10 and 15, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. God was addressing Peter's prejudice against Gentile believers. However, it's a message to us as well. We should never look down upon anyone God has saved, whether it is because of their race, economic status, or any other factor. As Philippians 2 and 3 instructs, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Hallelujah. We got to pray for our brothers and sisters. And it don't matter what they look like on the outside. They still have the same problems that each of us have. They still have the same God that each of us have. Nobody is better than anybody else. We are all children of God. And God is starting to become sick and tired of our foolishness when it comes to bigotry and racism and every ism out there. We got to love each other because God loved us even in our sinful selves. He still loved us. And we got to love our brothers and our sisters. God is not caring what is on the outside. He's caring about what's on the inside. And we need love. Love will every time trump hate. Let love lead you. Don't get so caught up in the rhetoric, political nonsense, because the bottom line is God is in charge. Acts 10 and 20, go down and go with them doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Have you ever noticed that God tends to guide us in stages? He rarely, if ever, gives us a roadmap to follow. Instead, He asks us to take His hand and go where He goes without doubting our final destination. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning. Thank you, God, for guiding us and leading us and speaking to us through your word. And it says in Acts 10 and 28, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. The Bible nowhere records that God told Peter, don't call any man common or unclean. God showed Peter a vision of unclean animals made clean, and Peter reasoned out the rest. God's instruction never bypasses our minds. Acts 10 and 35, in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Cornelius feared God and performed righteous deeds before he heard a word about the risen Christ. But he still needed to come to faith in Jesus. Those who really seek God will find him, Jeremiah 29 and 13. Acts 10 and 40, 41, God showed him openly, not all the people, but to witness chosen before by God. After his resurrection, Jesus did not appear to Pilate or to Herod or to Ananias or to Caiaphas or to those who crucified him. He appeared only to those who loved him. The rest will one day appear before him. Come on now. And as we get into our last chapter this morning, Acts 11 and 17, who was I that I could withstand God? Once we recognize a clear move of God, we are wise to join it or stay out of the way. It may not be what we expected or even what we hoped for, but he calls the shots, not us. Acts 11 and 18, God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. It has never occurred to the early Jewish believers that God might actually choose to put believing Gentiles on the same spiritual plane as believing Jews. But once they saw the truth, they responded correctly by praising God. Acts 11 and 23, he encouraged them, all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. How does one see the grace of God? By observing the fruit of genuine grace, dynamic worship, forgiving spirits, peace, joy, and so forth. We encourage each grace, such grace to flourish by exalting each other to eagerly and tenaciously serve the living God. Are you serving God this morning? We cannot stand in judgment. We got to stand in faith and in love. As my church says, you got to have love, peace, and joy because God gives us that. And in Acts 11 and 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. A heart genuinely touched by the loving of God desires to meet the needs of fellow believers in distress. God blesses us so that we might bless others. We all need each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all need each other. We all need each other. And if we come to that understanding and to that conclusion in our life, all need each other. Watch God work. Watch God work in your life. Watch God work in your future. Watch God work in your family. Just watch God work. We all need each other. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today because God is in charge of everything. And when you believe it, you know it. And let's get into our prayer this morning and a word from our sister in Christ. And our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Our word is right on point. Sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for actually happens. Have a move of faith, Friday. It took faith and an understanding in God's word, what he was teaching him, that Peter walked in the home of Gentiles, something that he would never have done in the flesh. But by the Spirit, he walked in and communion in his household and saved. And as we get into our prayer for this morning, deleting criticism. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29 NIV. Wonderful counselor, your wisdom offers all the building blocks needed for life. You offer it freely to all who seek out your advice. Where I've been lacking with my words, help me to find self-control. I need to keep the words of my mouth life-giving. Your words say there is the power of life and death in the tongue. I just spoke on that. Confirmation. Somehow, though I talk other parts of your words, I take other parts of your words seriously, I consistently or conveniently skim past this. Lord of my heart, I want my words to be a reflection of the love inside my heart, not fruit of frustrations and negativity. Give me revelation of the power of the words I choose, that I will begin to weigh them wisely. When criticism turns into cutting someone down, it can never be for their benefit or my own. May my mouth become a pure reflection of a pure heart that loves you. Whew, what a word. And the word that it adds is, I often use spend your time criticizing people when talking about them. And a prayer for tomorrow to just pray on and think on as we wrap it up this morning. Your reason. It says, every man weighs right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 21:2, NASB. God over all, you see directly into the intentions of my heart, measuring what others do not see. I have given my life to you. I walk with you purposefully. But still, how easy it is to get caught up in the day-to-day, forgetting to invite your input to weigh in on the attitudes behind my actions. Lord, would you enlighten me today with your love, letting me see clearly what is beneficial and what is not. I don't want to be stuck in a rut, explaining away why I do the things I do, if they're not reflective of your character. In your goodness, I find who I want to become. May I get stuck in who I've been, compliantly, trudging along in my own biases and off-kilter motives. Lord, your love is like a turning fork, a tuning fork. As I soak in your presence, you bring what is out of balance back into alignment. Even now, I set my mind and heart on you. Fill me with your wisdom that gives purpose to the mundane and keeps me on the pathway of peace. And I like to say, that keeps me in my square. And the question is this morning, is do you ever stop to think about what the motivation of your heart are when you are on autopilot? So I just say, whatever you need, ask God. And watch him work, and remember who he is in your life. Know that you belong to God, and God belongs to you. And as our word for this morning, God shows no partiality. His son, Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Have a blessed day, family, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed a glorious day, and enjoy your weekend, and know that God has you covered, because he loves you all equally. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed, and have a great day. It's a wrap.